This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Welcome to episode 57 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Today we're talking all about taking photos of people on your travels. In this episode, I'm actually talking with a couple of photographers who I know through some volunteer work I do for the Fremantle International Portrait Prize. That's a photographic competition that's based here in WA. So I have long discovered that photographers are fascinating people to interview. I think if you're a long-term listener, you'll remember the chats I've had with people like Keely Yuyan, who particularly photographs Indigenous people in North America, and he has amazing stories to go with that. And you may also remember the chats I've had with Japan-based photographer Martin Bailey. He's the guy who moved to Japan to work in a lace-making factory, of all things, taught himself to write and speak Japanese fluently, and did some other work, and eventually became a photographer and now leads amazing photographic tours. I've been thinking about why photographers are so fascinating. I think they're very good, thoughtful travellers because they're very keenly aware of everything that's around them. They're always on the hunt for a good photo. So in this episode, we're talking specifically about taking good photos of people. I think it's not easy to do, but it definitely helps you to travel more thoughtfully. I remember at a travel bloggers conference a couple of years ago, 2015, I think, I listened to a talk from my friend and previous guest, Lola Ackermaid-Eckerström, and she was speaking about how she gets locals to trust her when she's travelling and showed some of the amazing photos she gets as a result. In fact, I'll leave a link to the slideshow that accompanied that talk of Lola's because you'll be able to see some of her beautiful images, but you'll also get some excellent advice along with it. It was a really interesting talk. What struck me the most about it, though, because I'm certainly very amateurish in my photographic attempts. I'm really more a words person. I can talk and write, but images, not really my thing. But what struck me most is that in trying to get to know the local people to take a good photo, you're kind of doing all the things I try to do as a traveller anyway, to be a thoughtful traveller. So it's like finding out about local customs and culture, learning a few words or more of the local language, spending time in places where locals do, like markets or parks or the local shops and stuff like that. So I think taking photos of people on your travels is a great way to be fairly sure that you're traveling really well, so to speak. Now, today I chat first with Laurie Balin. And in fact, I met Laurie first nearly 20 years ago when he was a professor of medicine, when I was working in teaching and learning at the medical faculty at the university here. But Perth is a very small place, and so a couple of decades later, now we catch up because he's a keen photography enthusiast and a committee member for the Fremantle International Portrait Prize, the chair, in fact. And he's very well travelled. I'm always envious of his many trips, and he has some excellent tips to share about taking photos of people on your travels.
Well, I love to take pictures of people when I travel, but I'm, like many people, shy at taking photographs and still struggling as to find the best way to do it. Of course, the best photographs of people are when they're doing what they naturally do, and the difficulty is capturing them in such a way that you don't interfere with what they're doing. So I'll tell you the sort of approaches I've had. I think first of all, if you really want to get them natural in what they're doing, you've got to have a lens with good telephoto and be sufficiently far away so they can't see you. A stealth attack, even that is risky because often their friends or whoever's with them sees what you're doing, points it out to them, and immediately the moment's lost.
Yes.
So I don't often do that. What I tend to do now is if I see somebody whose portrait looks interesting, and of course a lot of people do look interesting, have wonderfully expressive faces when they're expressing themselves. First of all, let's take a situation in a market, because people, you know, we as tourists, we like going to markets and we see wonderful backgrounds for portraits. The first thing I'll often do is just point at my camera and try and indicate, is it okay to take a photograph? And they will usually shrug and say, you know, okay, and carry on what they're doing. That's ideal. Then you can just wait until the right moment. If they indicate, no, they're not happy, then I certainly don't persist. Mm-hmm. And just to give you one example, I was once trying to photograph a bearded young man selling things in an open-air market in Switzerland. And he saw me. I was fairly close up. And he started with a rant at me. He really, it was like sort of the equivalent of road rage, photographic subject rage.
Oh, no.
And then he got up as though he was going to attack me. So my wife and I made off quickly down the street, and he only followed a few yards, continuing to shout. That was some years ago, and that taught me a lesson, never to take people for granted. Mm-hmm. And one way of, again, sticking to markets, of getting people's cooperation, is actually to buy something. When the market sellers get annoyed is when you're clearly just there to take photographs. Mm-hmm. You're going to get something out of them, but you're not giving anything in return. Some stallholders don't mind, but others do resent it, and they get offers to get hundreds of tourists coming through in the more popular capital cities. So if I'm in doubt, I'll often buy something, something I want, piece of fruit or whatever it is, slice of cheese, some biscuits, and then ask them, you know, is it okay? And then usually they're fine with it. So that's one approach.
That's a good strategy, because then you've developed a bit of a relationship already just by having the transaction of buying something.
Yeah. Yeah, and as any photographic teacher will tell you, and I'm not a teacher, I'm just an enthusiast, getting the confidence of people, getting a relationship with them is a key thing. Another difficult situation is pubs. Now, pubs are wonderful cases, of course, for expressive characters.
Ah.
But, you know, you've got to be careful.
Yes, I bet.
if you really want to get beaten up, pub's the place to go. And again, with my sort of shy temperament, I'm not the sort of person who can easily go and start chatting up people in pubs, so I find it difficult. But my last and best experience was in a pub in Tasmania, when it was an out-of-way place, and there was a chap there, clearly a local, very expressive face, holding a can of Coke in one hand and a can of beer in the other.
Nice.
And he was drinking from them, and I had my big DSLR, and I felt, well, you know, I can't just photograph him. He might really get offended.
Yes,
I didn't
it's risky in a pub, so, especially. Yes.
Yeah. So I asked him, you know, do you mind if I photograph you? He said, no. He said, go ahead. And he, of course, immediately put down both the drinks on the shelf behind him. So I'd lost that situation, but nevertheless, he stood there, and the background was wonderful. So I did take a couple of photographs of him, and one of them was fine, and it sort of got the first prize in our monthly photographic competition at Fremantle. So, you know, you can do it. So I think trying to get something of a relationship. I guess another thing that a lot of people will tell you is the best photograph is not the first one you take, but when people think you've finished taking the photograph, then they relax, and then you take a couple more, and often they're much better.
When they think it's all over and they've stopped thinking about the fact that you're taking pictures. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think three other hints. One is, if you don't have a big camera, it's much easier. I found it much easier getting people to agree to portraits from my iPhone than I do from a big SLR. It's so much less intrusive. And the same applies to little compact cameras. If you've got a little compact or an old-fashioned camera, you know, which is fairly small, it's less inhibiting for people. The two situations where I find it relatively easy to get people to agree is, one, grandmothers with their grandchildren.
Oh, nice.
They love to have their grandchildren taken. So you take the two together, and that can lead to some lovely images. And the other one is people with their dogs.
Oh,
people love to have their dogs photographed. Again, you know, obviously, if you can get the two together, it's ideal. Now, sometimes I do, if you like, surreptitiously try to get the two together because I can see they're in such a good pose.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be just the dog and somebody's feet, you know, in a certain situation.
Yeah.
But at other times I use a wide-angle lens and I get permission to get a picture of the dog, and it happens to include the people through the wide angle. So you can get some very good comparing portraits that way. And of course, we know that owners tend to look like their dogs and vice versa.
Yes, so true.
So those are some of the examples in which I try and work through this situation of getting, what I would call street photography of people, not posed photographs.
Yes, exactly.
In the studio.
Yeah, which is what you want when you're traveling somewhere and come across interesting people, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the one other one is occupations. People working at, making something in a shop, they're often quite happy to be photographed if you ask them. And then they're concentrating so much on making their pottery or hammering out some brassware that you can get them, you can get up close to their hands and the actual object they're making. And that's a good example for a portrait.
When I was in Japan last year, I came across a basket maker and he was very happy to have his picture taken. And that situation. Yeah.
Yeah. So, one other point is that people will often say, no, I'm not photogenic. Of course, everybody is photogenic. And often the people who say that are the most photogenic.
Yes.
So sometimes you just can't get around that. And they'll just say, no, I won't. The photographs will be terrible.
Yes.
But if I've taken a photograph of somebody, I always do show it to them on the screen after I've taken it. If it's an opportune moment to do that. And if necessary, we'll email it to them, sometimes on the spot.
Laurie had so many great tips to share in our chat. But in fact, probably I think the most valuable thing he said was way back at the beginning where he's admitted that he's still struggles to find the best way and feels shy about it sometimes. Because I know for me, that is the hardest thing, not even to take photos of locals, even sometimes just to get chatting to them, and especially to do something sort of more forward, I suppose, is to take photos of them. I find it, depending on the situation, I can find myself suddenly really, really shy about talking to strangers. So some of his tips help, but I think help a lot. And especially, buying something from a market stall guy or talking to people with their babies and their dogs, because it's kind of a different focal point then perhaps. But above all, remembering that, lots of people find it difficult and it's something you kind of have to practice and perhaps sort of force yourself to have a go at and be brave about, because some of the results can be really great. I know it's the same whether I'm taking photos or not, but just getting to know local people, sometimes I've had to, kind of feel I have to push myself past the shyness, and it's always, always worth it. Anyway, some great tips there. Now, my next guest today is another photographer, Dale Neal. So he works as a professional photographer, doing all kinds of amazing things and travelling a lot as well, taking tours to exotic places around the world. He's just come back from a photographic tour to Iran with a group of people. And we met because I've been teaching blogging courses for many years at the local university extension program, and Dale's been teaching photography there, often in the next room. So we've bumped into each other many, many, many times, and he's a key part of the Fremantle International Portrait Prize. Now, Dale's based in Fremantle, that's the very home of the prize, and Fremantle is technically a suburb of Perth, my hometown, but it's much more special than that sounds. It's the port town or the port city of Perth, but it's also just a really different place. It's got so much character. It's way more interesting, and you always find interesting people there compared to other parts of Perth. And the story that Dale tells is the kind of thing that could happen to you if you were visiting Fremantle. But it's really the story of what can happen when you offer to take someone's photograph.
It's strange how you managed to get photographic subjects. I was driving through Fremantle one day and I saw this feral girl walking along, and she had chicken bones through her hair and she had on a strange, strange dress. And I thought I'd love to photograph her, but you can't just stop your car in the middle of the street. So I forgot about her. Anyway, 2 days later, I'd been out for a ride on my push bike and I rode home, and this feral girl was standing out the front of my house looking at the flowers in my garden. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm looking at the flowers." And I said, "Look, I'd love to photograph you." And she said, "Fine." Now, at that stage, she was living in the old South Fremantle power station with the rats and the bats.
Oof. Wow.
And she telephoned me the next day and she said, "Dale, I've taken some wire cutters and I've cut a hole in the cyclone fence so you can get in to photograph me inside here."
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, "Jerry," I said, "no, I can't do that. But look, I'm going to York tomorrow. Do you want to come to York?" So we drove up to York together, and she was telling me about her life story, and she was saying how that she never had a dad. Her mum committed suicide when she was only 10.
Hmm.
She'd always been in trouble at school and being expelled from school, and she'd been in trouble with the law, and she had travelled around Australia as a professional protester, protesting against trees being chopped down and environmental issues. So we got up to York, and she was dressed beautifully. Now, despite this rough upbringing, she had the most beautiful BBC voice.
Oh, that's unexpected.
And I said, how did you learn to speak like this? She said, every night I went to bed, I pulled the bedclothes over my head and listened to the ABC. So I was photographing her in the old courthouse in New York on the upper floor. And she was dressed up in a beautiful dress that spread out. She'd done all of her makeup with one finger over her lips and her cheeks and so on. And I said to her, I want you to imagine that you're at a ball and a handsome man in uniform comes and asks you to dance. What would you do? And she did this most perfect curtsy for me. Click. Oh, I got the shot.
Beautiful.
And a little bit of my heart melted. And I thought to myself, this is a wounded princess.
Mm.
So about 3 weeks went by, and I rang her and I said, I have proof to show you. And I met her in a coffee shop in Fremantle, and I showed her the proofs, and she was shuffling through these proofs, looking at them. And she came to the photograph of her doing the curtsy, and she clutched the photograph to her chest, and all these tears rolled down her cheeks. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, Dale, nobody's ever photographed me like this.
Mm.
And a bit of my heart melted, I have to say. So I didn't see her for a few months. She rang me from Tasmania and she said, Dale, I'm going to get married. Can you come and photograph my wedding? And I said, Jerry, I'd love to, but I can't. About 6 or 8 months went by, and I was walking along the streets of Fremantle, and I met up with an older lady that she used to share a house with, and she said, do you ever hear from Jerry? And I said, oh, I get an email once a month or so from her. She got married, you know. She said, oh, did she? And this older lady, who was an older feral woman, said to me, Dale, you know you changed her life.
Oh.
And I said, what do you mean? Well, she said, about a week before you photographed her, she went down to Ada Rose's, the only registered brothel in Fremantle, and applied for a job. You didn't know about this. You took her off to York and you photographed her, and she got your photographs. About 4 or 5 days after she saw your photographs, the madam from the brothel rang Jerry and said, Jerry, I've got good news for you. You've got a job here. You can start on Monday. And Jerry said, you know what? I've changed my mind. I just feel like I've got a bit more respect for my body.
Oh,
so
wow.
Thanks very much. So maybe in some small way. Now, the writer to this little story is, a year goes by. I get a telephone call. And there's Jerry. She said, Dale, I'm back in Perth for a week. Can I call around and see you? Can I get a couple more photographs? So there's a knock on the front door. I open the front door and there's Jerry. She is no longer a feral. She is Miss Normal, prim and proper.
No way.
Just a thoroughly normal girl.
What a great story, hey? You can probably guess from listening to Dale that he doesn't seem to suffer from that shyness or struggling to approach people to take their photos. And he does do it in a really amazing way and with great results. I'll leave a link to one of Dale's websites where you can see some more of his photos in the show notes. So I hope that this has been a bit inspiring for you to think about taking photos, not just of beautiful landscapes, but also of people when you travel or wherever you are. And if you've already taken some great shots of people, I would encourage you to check out the Fremantle International Portrait Prize. You can find it at FIPP2017.org. I'll leave that link in the show notes, of course. Obviously, I'm involved in it, so I really love it. But it's also a really lovely, well-run contest with profits to the local arthritis and osteoporosis Western Australia group, so all going to a very worthwhile cause. Entries are open now by the time you listen to this, and they close on the 11th of August. There's a main category, but also a new mobile phone category, because some amazing photos do come out straight out of a mobile phone. There's $5,000 cash first prize and a bunch of other great prizes too. And if you get into the finalists, maybe I'll see your portrait hanging up in Fremantle in a few months' time. So that's about it for episode 57. I'll let you know where you can find some more information about our guests and other things I've mentioned. So in the show notes, I'll leave that Fremantle International Portrait Prize site link. I'll also leave a link to Dale Neal's Deadly Boring Photographs blog. You can find Dale in a few places around the internet, but that's my favourite. He blogs with great style and with great photos. And I will also leave a link to Lola's talk on photographing people in their natural environment. So it's a slide share link, but it's pretty self-explanatory. You can read it and look at the amazing pictures and learn a lot. The show notes will be at notaballerina.com/57 for this episode. Do come along to our Facebook group for a chat about this and other Thoughtful Travel episodes, and perhaps share some great photos you've taken of people on your travels. I'd love to see them. So just look in Facebook for Thoughtful Travelers, or there's a link in the show notes as well. You can also get hold of me on Twitter at Amanda Kendall and use the hashtag ThoughtfulTravelPod. Thanks again so much for listening. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.